Over the past 18 months, there have been many changes to our streetscapes and indeed many ways to the way we travel about when we are out and about. Now, there is a new phenomenon coming and it's in the form of crossing our roads. We'll be familiar with things like zebra crossings, but they are changing. Rainbow crossings, I think we could probably call them. James Adams is from RIB Scotland. I'm getting Niall Foley from Guide Dog to talk a little bit more about these and some of the possible stumbling blocks or concerns the charities have for people who are blind or partially sighted. James, these are relatively new, not a great deal known about them at the moment, but already there are perhaps some concerns for navigating these safely.
Yeah, we've started to notice in a few places across Scotland and also where across the rest of the UK, these are starting to spring up. You can sort of understand, you know, why it's felt these are a positive thing to add to the general aesthetic of the street. The issue from the perspective of blind, far-sighted people that we've spoken to is that often actually it causes a bit of confusion when somebody's trying to cross a road. For those who do have sight, the traditional black and white pedestrian crossings, you know, black, white, a very high contrast, which makes it that a little bit easier for people with low vision to be able to detect where they're crossing and so forth. Adding a sort of melody of different colours to different crossing points actually can lead to a bit of confusion potentially, and adds that little bit of additional risk potentially to crossing the road.
Is there a reason why they're introducing these colourful crossings and perhaps looking to change the more traditional type?
It's just an expression of diversity in society and solidarity that communities might feel with, you know, people from all different sort of walks of life, and that's absolutely a place for that in society, and I'm sure we'd all welcome that. It's just, I think perhaps the artistic process has got ahead of the design principles when looking at it. So we just want a bit of consideration given to how these are placed in our streets and our roads so that, you know, it doesn't in a practical sense make it that little bit more difficult for people with sight loss to be able to navigate around.
Niall, independent navigation, that's the bread and butter for guide dogs. When you think about training people, training dogs as well, and crossing roads, you know, it's an important thing to do safely. But, you know, there's a joint concern here with RIB Scotland.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you, Alan. Yeah, as James has touched upon, crossing the road safely is an essential part of negotiating our built environment and accessing our local community, and the provision of crossing points affects everyone's ability and desire to use their local streets. And particularly with our sight loss community, consistency is absolutely key. And over the last year and a half, our community has seen changes to our streetscapes inspired by public health measures, sometimes quite rapid changes to streets and layouts and pavements. And colourful crossings are yet another challenge on our streets for people who are blind or partially sighted. For people with a vision impairment, consistency in street design is absolutely essential. Coming across a familiar crossing but with new colours isn't particularly exciting or interesting. It can be worrying and confusing.
Many of your customers when they're training with the dogs will have perhaps very low vision, and as James pointed out, that black and white contrast can be crucial. So do you think some people may struggle wondering, you know, is this a crossing, or, you know, just struggle to perhaps follow the colours to cross safely?
Absolutely, that's our concern. As you touched on, majority of blind and partially sighted people have some sight, and the contrast with the existing black and white zebra crossings are long established and recognisable. And it's the inconsistency of design which makes training for our guide dog owners and guide dogs very difficult. As you'll know yourself, Alan, the bond between a guide dog and its owner is unique, and it's very much a partnership and working together with the familiar surroundings or features of the streetscape, which will be familiar to them. And as I say, coming across a very different version of a familiar design, which is so important to accessing our streets safely, it can be very worrying and confusing. We just want to make it clear that colourful crossings and art in the public realm more broadly, you know, is welcome because it can assist with wayfinding and strengthen communities. But we do have concerns about the development and rollout, and we would strongly wish that the voice of people with sight loss is heard and listened to in designing our streets.
James, an interesting couple of points which I noticed in the press release. You know, obviously concerns about people who are colourblind, and even those who can have reactions to rapidly changing or multiple colours as well. You know, but that's perhaps something that maybe designers haven't thought about. So, is there going to be a dialogue to look at these to make them better?
You're absolutely right, Al. I mean, as we know, there's a whole series, a whole myriad of different types of sight conditions. You know, there isn't just, you're not just blind or partially sighted. There's a whole spectrum of different types. So, for instance, people with maybe Charles Bonnet syndrome, which, at least is sort of levels of hallucination, you know, that type of thing, or perhaps if somebody's got dementia of some kind, or early onset dementia, perhaps, you know, it might affect how they see things. So having these colourful crossings just might, again, add that little bit additional difficulty for them to be able to navigate. And in terms of, as Niall said, both ourselves and Guide Dog Scotland are very keen to engage on government on this. And we recently wrote a joint letter to the relevant government department, and we'll be seeking to have, you know, discussions with them. Perhaps we will try and bring along blind partially sighted people as well to have that, to inform that discussion. And also we'll be looking to engage with, you know, local authorities and so forth in due course. I mean, obviously, like the local authorities and the planners, they've got 1,001 things on their plate, and I think the competing priorities they're trying to juggle and deal with. But we think, you know, this is perhaps an oversight. It's just not being consulted on. It's not really being thought through, you know, holistically from the point of view of those putting them in. So we'll be hoping to have those discussions alongside Guide Dog Scotland so that we can try and mitigate some of the potential impacts of this.
And now we're not saying that your guide dog, if you're a guide dog owner, is suddenly going to come across these and stop and refuse to do anything or start wandering about the road. It's just an initial concern which can be worked on.
Yeah, absolutely. And if any guide dog owner does have any concerns about their route or the area they live or any changes in the community, they can certainly contact the local team who will assist them on their route. But as we've said, and I think, you know, the message is clear about consistency and consistency of street design. It really is an essential part of negotiating our built environment and accessing local communities. And we want to ensure that consistency is maintained.
And again, we will continue to follow this story of our ever-changing streets. But for the moment, to James and to Niall, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.